James asked me, how do you innovate? And I've suggested, or almost suggested.
This is Superfast Business with James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here, and I'm so pleased to be able to bring you a video of Drayton Bird answering some questions I put to him after really being enthused by the way that he approaches copywriting.
I'm answering questions from James Schranko, who strikes me as being pretty smart, because he said he was going to ask me three questions. And when I looked at them, there were about eight, but I'll try and answer them. The first one was about being creative. He saw me speak in Washington at Yannick Silver's underground event. And I said, you should stick to what works rather than being creative. And I said that because far too many people waste time trying to be clever when they should just be selling. David Ogilvy once remarked that people spend their time skidding about helplessly on the surface of irrelevant creative brilliance. The interesting word there is irrelevant. A lot of research shows that it is relevance, not originality or creativity or smart ideas, that make people buy. The secret, of course, is to study, to see what's worked in the past. Because in any creative field, believe it or not, and I'm talking about music or painting, anything you like, you will find that the great writers and painters and so on study and adapt what has worked before. There is actually an exhibition right here in London at the moment, which compares the work of the French painter Claude with the British painter Turner, to show how Claude influenced Turner. And the same sort of thing applies to great music. But you must study, you know. What's wrong with most people in this business, I tell you? They don't study. They don't read. I was interviewing a copywriter yesterday, a very successful one, and he said he was staggered at the way that people haven't read all the great books. They haven't studied. So there you are. James asked me, how do you innovate? And I've suggested, or almost suggested, that you don't innovate, you just copy. Well, that's not true. What you do to come up with something slightly different that will work is you take elements that you're familiar with and you put them together in new and surprising ways. That is what creativity is all about, because there is nothing new under the sun, not really. There are just new variations. So you take things that have worked and put them together in new and surprising ways, and sometimes almost exactly copy. And the most famous example of that is David Ogilvy's advertisement, which sold the Rolls-Royce, which said at 60 miles an hour, the loudest sound in this new Rolls-Royce comes from the electric clock. Well, that was actually taken directly from an advertisement for another car called the Pierce Arrow, which had run 20-odd years previously, maybe 30 years previously. I think 20-odd years previously. David Ogilvy said that he used to study all the advertising in any category for the previous 20 or 30 years before he wrote anything. You should do the same. The more you study, the more you know, the better you're able to innovate. Simple as that. James asked me an almost impossible question. How important is change in direct response? Well, change is important in anything. But what is the role of change? Where does change come in? And the answer is that change is meaningless without testing. If you think, oh, I'll change this or I'll change that, rule number one, if you change more than one thing at a time, you never know what made the difference. That's very important. The golden rule in testing is, my golden rule anyhow, is test one or test all. In other words, you test an entirely new approach, or you just change one particular element. And testing really is the bedrock of success in this business. Richard V. Benson observed many years ago, and I'm not sure he was the first to say it, that there are only two rules in direct marketing. Rule number one, test everything. Rule number two, refer to rule number one. If you're not testing enough, you're going to fail. And I'm amazed I haven't failed, because James asked me another question and I'm going to answer it honestly. James said to me, have you tested the pages, the sales pages on one of your websites? Have you tried a video? Well, the answer to that was yes and no, or rather no and yes. I'm thinking of creating a mini course called 10 Stupid Things I Do That You Shouldn't Do. My mother always used to say, don't do as I do as I say. And I guess as we get older, we get more like our parents, although I don't really look much like my mother. I do not test enough. I really do not test enough. As it happens, I do stick videos in practically everything I do because I know they work, but I don't test enough. The reason I don't test enough is because I'm doing okay. This is very, very bad. I have a saying which I rather like, which I coined about 3 or 4 years ago, which is nothing fails like success. The minute you start, you think you're doing well, you neglect these important things. So I don't test. I'm sort of sitting there thinking, well, I'm making a pretty good living, but I know I don't test enough. My excuse is I don't have enough time, and I have a small business, and I'm an old man. I hope that answers James's question. James asked me about guarantees, and he said, should we ask better than, essentially said, should we offer very, very good guarantees, better than risk-free, because people tend to take advantage of them. And he said, I've seen people who deliberately put in their diaries a note to cancel after a certain period of time when they've got what they want. Well, you know, there are always going to be people like that. But to my mind, you should be as generous with your guarantees as you possibly can. My guarantee that I give for practically everything I do, let's take my course AODIM, which runs every year here, I always say, if by lunchtime on the first day you don't think this is going to be worth 10 times, I think I've actually said 100 times what you pay on one occasion, then I'll give you your money back. And in some cases I say, I'll give you your money back and your travel expenses, yeah? And I, you know, in 30-odd years, 40-odd years of doing talks to thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people, I've only ever had one person ask for his money back. And to be absolutely honest, when I asked my PA why, she said, I think he'd come to the wrong event. He didn't even realise what the event was about, but that's by the by. So be as generous as you can with your guarantees. James asked me, what's a good way to craft a guarantee? In other words, how do you create a guarantee? I'm not entirely sure what he meant, but I'll tell you what I do think. I think that if you don't really emphasize the benefits of the guarantee in the same way that you emphasize the benefits of what you're selling, then you're missing a trick. If I just say, here's a guarantee, you get your money back, yeah? That is what I would call the feature of the guarantee, yeah? That's what happens. That's what the guarantee does. It gives you your money back. But the benefit of the guarantee is that you don't have to worry. What can you possibly lose? Years ago, I was offered a job by a brilliant man called Joe Carbo, who wrote a marvelous advertisement headed The Lazy Man's Way to Get Rich. And I always remember at the end of the copy for the advertisement, which ran all over the world, including Australia, somebody who worked for me ran this product in Australia. He said at the end, look, you may be full of hot air, Joe, but what have I got to lose? You see, that's the benefit of the guarantee as opposed to what the guarantee is. So that's a very good question from James. All the questions that he's asked are pretty good. I'm not sure if my answers are any good, but that's another subject. James asked me one more question, which I didn't quite understand, and I'm going to read it. He said, how do you feel about these young guns who think it is all about EPC, earning per click, before the customer? Is there a line between solving the customer's problems versus solving the marketer's problems? Well, quite frankly, if you don't solve the customer's problems, you ain't going to solve your own problems. It is certainly true to say that there are a lot of rogues, far too many rogues around, who make outrageous promises and get away with it because the internet is not policed very well. But the truth of the matter is to go into a broader field, you will not do as well as you could if you don't do two things. If you don't spend most of your time thinking about your customers' problems, and if you don't explore every conceivable means of solving those problems and every conceivable means of communicating with customers. A lot of people at the moment, I got something today that suggested, that the internet is the way, email is this, that, and the other. Well, email responses are going down and down. Meanwhile, I interviewed somebody yesterday, a copywriter that I know, a very good copywriter, who's written a couple of books. And I said, do you use direct mail? And he said, yeah. He said, he uses direct mail more than anything else. That's another thing that I don't do. That's another mistake that I make. Direct mail still works because more and more people move over to email. Fewer and fewer people use direct mail. Big mistake. Thanks for asking the questions, James. And I hope the answers were helpful.
I'd love to get your comments and let me know how this video training has helped you with your ideas about copywriting. Tell me what you're going to change as a result of watching this.
Discover how to build your business super fast. Check out superfastbusiness.com.